Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. It is the Red Men Podcast. I am Paul Machin, Ross Chanley, and the man, the legend, Mr. Chris Pajak, are in the studio for this one. Stee is at home mentally preparing himself for a death-defying trip to Birmingham tonight. Liverpool, Aston Villa, and Steven Gerrard looks to just cut our lives and dreams to pieces. Talk a little bit about that in due course. But yeah, we've got plenty of stuff to get through on the podcast today. We've got a kick-off question in a moment. We're going to be talking a little bit back on Spurs. Very briefly, we'll cover Villa because obviously we're aware, if you're watching this live, it's tonight. If you listen to it after the fact or watching it after the fact, it's done. So we'll talk more about the FA Cup final at the weekend. And I want to discuss the idea that Pep Guardiola thinks everyone supports Liverpool. All that to come. We've also got our sponsorship as well. But we've got a kickoff question. It comes from John Lee David Blackshaw, which I'm not going to lie. It comes from our Club Legend Discord.
It's a Tory name.
I copied the text, but I couldn't copy the name. So I had to type the name up. And 3 times I had to go back onto the tab to check I'd put the names in the right order because it's 3 first names beforehand. It says, how does Klopp and LFC budgeting team deal with Haaland going to the citizens, and do you think it's as much of a worry as I do?
Who is this Haaland?
This is your generation's Shearer to Man United, but this one happened. I mean, it's not my generation's Shearer to United. That was Shearer to United, or not, was my generation's Shearer to United. But I appreciate the. Well, I'm treating it as a compliment. Do you think we're young whippersnappers and don't remember football when we were in our prime?
It's a shame, really.
How do you feel about the Erling Haaland thing?
It was inevitable, wasn't it? It was just a matter of time before it happened. Similar to the Harry Kane situation, I think it was always a scary thought when they actually got a striker who's just going to sit in the box and score tap-ins that will help Man City. But we discussed it on the Round League yesterday. I don't remember how many times he can beat Burnley 5-0 and Newcastle 5-0. I think this is something to help them get over the edge in the Champions League. And it's actually quite interesting, the timing of it very much feels like Fabinho after Kiev.
Yeah.
Have we just been knocked out? Let's make everyone happy. Let's rejuvenate everyone and let's push on again. But I think it's always been in the works for ages. And obviously, Raiola dying obviously didn't help things, but you have to get these things over the line.
Yeah, I know. What an inconvenience. What's he doing? Wrecking that transfer by dying.
Selfish,
Ross.
Yeah.
God.
Twice.
I think that's a really interesting point by Ross, the Fabinho stuff, Chris. Because look, you can't really get more points in the league. I mean, you can, because they'll get like what, early 90s probably to win the league this year. They've done 100 in the past. They might be able to get back up to that again, but there's only so many games you can win in the Premier League. And I wonder whether it's a bit of seeing Benzema up close and just going how much it is just having a talismanic all-round complete centre-forward in your side makes that little bit of difference.
And it will do. It'll make them better, definitely. I'm convinced of that, but it doesn't mean that Liverpool are out of next season's title race at all.
Yeah.
People seem to be throwing the towel in very early these days before even this season's finished. It's what Klopp does. It's how we evolve and how we get better as well, because Liverpool won't sit still. Liverpool won't spin the wheels. Liverpool will strive to get better as well. Right now, on paper, the signing looks brilliant. There's loads of signings that look great on paper. In fact, most signings look great on paper.
Yep.
It's how they actually work in real life.
Apart from that one Everton got on loan in January from Villa.
Yeah, that didn't look great on paper.
Didn't look great on anything.
That's the interesting point, because I think we say about people throwing the towel in. It was the same, and it was the same with pundits at the start of the season. As soon as Chelsea got Lukaku, Chelsea are going to win the title. Man United's got Ronaldo, and we know, and I think Haaland's it feels like he's a different class, which is what makes it slightly different of going, well, you can't just turn up and expect he's going to be really good. He's been phenomenal at Dortmund. I think his goal return or goal contribution return is like, I think he scored like 85 goals in 83 games at Dortmund, which is roughly around that, which is obviously a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
I think he'll get more over his time at Manchester City, but there's no guarantees. His injury record isn't great either, but I know he's only 21. It's time for that to develop and get better. So he's missed quite a bit of football this season as well.
Yeah. What I love about him and where I think he's absolutely at his best is when he's, you know, using his body to force people off the ball, driving in behind. I think he's really good. Like, I don't watch enough Dortmund to say he's a fox in the box, but I'm damn sure he'll be able to do that as well. That's the thing, isn't it? He's got everything to his game, Haaland. You know, for me, if you wanted a pure out-and-out striker between Haaland and Mbappe, I'd probably be more tempted by Haaland than Mbappe. You know, Mbappe comes from the left-hand side a little bit more, probably suits our system a little bit more maybe than Haaland does right now. Mm-hmm. Manchester City, I feel, are playing to the strengths. They've got the striker that suits them more
yeah.
in Haaland. If they had the choice between Haaland and Mbappe, I think Haaland on paper suits them more.
Yeah. I mean, looking at it, 28 goals and 29 appearances all comps this season. You know, again, his overall games played has been limited by injuries, but when he's played, he scores. Yeah. He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. But I think that's the point. The idea of chucking the towel in because another team have signed a lad. It's like, we signed Diaz and Diaz is boss and we've got loads of other boss lads as well. City are trying, Liverpool's attacking options are better than Man City's is my argument on this. Now you could argue, well, they're still ahead of us in the league, so therefore, you know, that's just them extending the gap or whatever. I mean, football doesn't work like that. It just doesn't, you know, a bit of bad luck here and there can have a significant difference in tight title races. Still contend. The timing of our COVID stuff this season undermines a lot of what we're doing. They got a bit more fortunate with it, and then we are where we are.
Yeah, exactly. And to answer the question as well, I don't think it affects Liverpool at all. Liverpool won't do the business any differently, or in the budgeting team won't go, oh, they've spent X amount. Let's do the same. Like, we'll have plans that have been in the works for months anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It might change our analysis department might go a bit deeper because they'll have to start work because that'll change how Man City do things, I think, because they'll have more of a fixed man in and around there. You know, they've been so fluid this season because, you know, every one of their, they've got five lads who've played centre forward for them this season, and not one of them has played centre forward. Not one of them is a natural centre forward. Having to go back to that means they'll probably just revert. They'll just get the Aguero book back out again, dust it off and go back to there maybe.
It seems to me like they're spending a lot of money to just win the Premier League.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah. They'll get to a Champions League final and they'll play him at DM.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But you're right, you know, we were here last summer when everyone was writing Liverpool off, as you say, because Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It might be that he does just totally upset what they do. He probably won't because he's brilliant. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's not going to be class because all the evidence points towards he's going to be absolutely brilliant. And I'd be made up if we were signing him. I just would. But I've also contended he's an Achilles injury away from being Christian Benteke because he's a very big lad. And look, again, he could go his entire career and not have any of those problems, but he's dead fast as well. And it'll be interesting to see. Hey, look, it's one of them. He's boss. He's 21 years old. He's brilliant at football and Man City have signed him. But it's another good example. I'd be interested to see how the press cover this because all the word on the grapevine is that, yes, there's the release clause, but they'll be paying like two to three times as much. Yeah.
It's like 100-odd million.
Hundreds of millions to actually get him in. And it's whether they try to hide that so they can continue with their own, oh, poor old Man City, we can't be spending lots of big money and all that kind of stuff. We just buy five 50 million pound players instead of buying a 200 million pound player.
Last season they signed a 100 million pound player. They're signing another 100 million pound player in Haaland this season.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
No pretense,
the Jack Grealish stuff, it fucked them because it drew eyes to what they're doing, whereas they've managed to go under the radar. You can get like one of their guys on doing media duties a couple of years ago talking about how we've not broken the record for any of the positions. Liverpool have paid X for Van Dijk and the goalie and all that. And it's like, yeah, that's how they've gotten away with it. But it looks like they've just decided to go full Tory and just go, we'll just do what we want. And no one will care because no one cares.
I think it might have been a Man City fan or journalist, but it was someone with a blue tick on Twitter saying that everyone's overworking what they're doing because they overpaid on Joe. And I forgot he even played for Man City. And it's maybe they did. And that pre-Guardiola, they did spend a lot of money and just, you know, rotate players because they didn't do him. But even under him, they spent loads.
You know, the City fans are rattled because all I'm seeing is them defending something when no one's arguing against them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're already on the defensive.
Yeah.
That tells you that It's true.
No, it's like, Liverpool. It's like when you walk in on your kid and you go, "What are you doing?" And they go, and they get immediately like ultra defense. Like, "I'm just asking you, what are you doing? You're right." It's like, "Oh, yeah, okay. Well, now you can tell me what it is you're actually doing here." No, it is. They are, and because they've had now years of this, and that, there's a core of Man City fans who've been up and down the leagues, and the football team's their football team, and I respect that. But it's this as well. And it is, they are just the idea of Pep trying to shift the narrative towards them being, "Oh, you know, we've only got X amount of players, and oh, we haven't got the squad to compete," and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you have, and B, boo fucking who if you haven't. Because again, to the point, is what happens when you choose to spend £100 million on a footballer? You live with the consequences. Well,
they don't.
No, enough.
That's the point, yeah, isn't it? Like, you can spend £100 million on Grealish, him not set the world alight, good player still, whatever, and still just roll the dice the next year on another £100 million player. Like, Liverpool don't get that. You know, no one else in the league gets that pretty much. Yeah. Manchester United maybe, but even then, I don't think they really even get it, because they've got to justify it in some ways. Man City have never had to justify anything. They just get to do it and do it again if it's wrong.
Yeah, that's why Man United stuck with Harry Maguire, £80 million, because they have to play him. They can't shift him.
And yeah, exactly. And if they do, they're not getting anywhere like that. And Man United probably just will eventually, and they'll take a big bath on it, and they'll move on, because they, to Chris's point, they can.
Yeah.
Still, Man United still can do that, because they've got the depth of resources to be able to do it. But Liverpool have had to.
Varane sounds like a good player, doesn't he?
What?
Just like Varane sounds like a good footballer.
Yeah, I'm told he's great.
He's not.
I'm told he's really good. Like, he's got all kinds of European cups, and he plays. He's a World Cup winner, and he's played for Real Madrid. He must be dead good.
Jadon Sancho's maybe a good comparison to Haaland coming in, but maybe that's a different example, because Man United are just terrible.
Erling Haaland is just a freak, and he's going to come in and continue to be a freak, because he's a freak.
Yeah,
and that'll be that. He is to centre forward play what Usain Bolt is to 100 metres plus, you know, sprinting. It shouldn't work, but it does, and I've got no doubt that it will continue. I have every doubt that if he'd signed for us, he would turn out to be it would all stop working. Like, you know what I mean? That's years and years of us going, "Oh, and we'll get Andy Carroll, look at him, he's tearing the league up." Oh no, he just loves pills and going out and getting bevied and that, like, you know what I mean, in the summer. Like, good on him. Hopefully Haaland's like that, just goes nuts when he comes over to England, and he's got brasses everywhere and fucking goes off the deep end. That'd be absolutely great. Don't care for him at all. Ivan Drago. It does fit into Klopp's whole Rocky narrative even better though, to be fair. Like, Luis Diaz is Rocky, and Erling Haaland is Ivan Drago. I love that. Right, we've got our sponsor this week. It is Who Knows Wins. We've got Reese Andrew calling in for us. Let me just don my flight gear to get this one. Reese, how are you doing?
Like Ross said, last summer with Lukaku joining Chelsea, I mean, there is no guarantee, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's all in. They're all in on Haaland now. Like, you've this got year. To... Well, yeah, but like, Pep's not got long left, has he? And he's now got to deliver the Champions League next season. Because
of Husky there.
Oh yeah, just about to unleash the hottest bitch draft the world ever seen. Right, anyway, let's do Who Knows Wins. Should we have a look at the table from last week?
Yes.
Let's do it.
How did we do?
Oh, I was top. Right?
Rossi Shanley, joint top with me. And also it appears Chris and Charlie. Well done. Well done, Ross.
Terrible scores though.
Talk about a contrast to last week, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was lots of high scores last week. What did you get this week?
5.
Yeah. So,
you know, I'm pulling it back. I really am.
Clawing it all back in. Right.
Istanbul all over again.
So to clarify, yeah, the table for those listening in, me, then Ross, then Chris, then Charlie, 4.
That's not
Simon,
how it looked on the screen.
Ben Steak.
He's very much put himself top there. And notice how he didn't give the scores out either, so it just made it look like he was fair. So let's go with Chris and Charlie both on 4, Paul and Ross both on 4, all joint first. Si and Steve, 3 points. Tom, a big fat 0.
Right, Tom, you got to run in here as fast as possible. Get it, yeah.
He's done his leg.
Tom is the loser. He's got to run. He's also producing, so we're gonna. If anything goes wrong, this is good. We're on the edge here. Just kneel down there for us, mate. Just kneel down in front.
Heard that before.
There you go. And Tom knows nothing. Tom knows so little. He didn't even know to put his picks in this week.
How'd you forget?
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. Tom is the big loser this week. Right, should we have a look at what the fixtures are for this week's one? Reece, do you want to talk us through them?
Let's do it, yeah. So we've got one on the Saturday. It's our FA Cup final against Chelsea. And then the rest are on Sunday. We've got Spurs, Burnley, Aston Villa, Crystal Palace, Leeds, Brighton, Watford, Leicester, West Ham, Man City, Wolves, Norwich, Everton, Brentford. Then we've got in the Serie A, AC Milan versus Atalanta, and in La Liga, Atletico Madrid versus Sevilla.
I would listen to Reece do the classified football results, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think I should be the next guy. I think there should be a petition going because you can just hear in that guy's voice when he does the classified results that he's probably on his way out. So I definitely
Yeah, he's a bit like he's got a bit Martin Tyler on it. It's just like he's been doing it too long.
Yeah.
It's getting a bit sad.
A bit of umph, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Jeff Schelling's nearly on his way out of the job, not life, isn't he? And he said he was going to leave and he's staying now.
Yeah.
Played up Lander for a new contract there, didn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So what are we feeling about this, Reece? Any ones that you think are particularly nailed on or tricky in this week?
It's funny, right? So this is what I think about this stage of the season is, on paper, it's quite deceiving, whereas you have to look at the context of the games. So then we've got a couple of fixtures, like I'll pick out Aston Villa, Crystal Palace, for example. That's a mid-table game. There's not a lot riding on it, whereas you've got let's have a look here now, Spurs versus Burnley, right? So Spurs going for Champions League and then Burnley trying to avoid the drop. You just don't know where that game's going to go. So everything's on the line. I think, if we're being honest, this is our best chance of getting some points back on City, them away to West Ham. But, I mean, would you be surprised if they beat them 4-0?
And just quickly on the Chelsea-Liverpool one, is that the full-time result again?
Yeah,
so
sorry.
If it goes into extra time, it's a draw, would clash.
Yeah, good point. So it does take the score after 90 minutes. So at the 90 minutes, so if it's 0-0, goes into extra time, that's cast as a draw in the pick 10. So, I mean, last week we had one winner who had 8 out of 10 and won £6,000. Everyone else had 7. He was the only one to get 8 out of 10. So he still lost didn't get 2 results right, but he still won £6,000.
Very
much. That's a decent story.
Yeah.
Very much. I was gutted. I thought I was on for 10 out of 10 last week.
Really?
I even put it in our little Excel sheet. I wanted to put my picks in, I put the results and put 10 in at the end.
Clever.
Didn't work though.
Alas, it didn't last.
No.
There you go.
It was just what I started with.
Yeah. I haven't seen you since you lost, actually.
I didn't lose.
I mean, you
didn't happen. No one photoshopped anything onto me.
In no way, shape, or form did we see a photo of Chris Bajak with the loser's hat a few weeks ago. Right, Reece, anything else you want to tell people before we head off?
Yep, so the prize pot's £10,000, and obviously get your picks in on before 3 p.m. Not 3 p.m., it'll probably be 4:45. But make sure that by checking out the app, download as always, and get involved.
Perfect, thank you so much.
Thanks, Reece. Speak to you next week.
Guys, have a good week.
Amazing. Bye-bye. Yeah, of course, you can get involved with that. The link will be in the description on YouTube and, of course, on podcasting services as well. Get involved. We're having a good laugh with it. But, of course, make sure you are gamble aware. And if you're not into the kind of thing, then don't be into it. Just, you know, if you're into that kind of thing, then come and join us and have a laugh and share some bragging rights as well. Right.
Stop down, Central. I went.
Damn it. Done that one. Let's talk about Tottenham Hotspur. It was a bit of a weird feeling. Ross, the post-match reaction from the cop and stuff, that really buoyed me. I was really pleased with how defiant the whole thing was, but it was a really odd one. I came away thinking it was a good point, in so much as if you 1-0 up and you throw it away, it's a bad point. But if you 1-0 down and you get it back to 1-1, it's better psychologically, I think. But obviously, it's just incredibly frustrating that I felt like we were just gonna win every game of football.
Because that's what we've done continuously. And sometimes you look kind of runs out. I think Steve summed it up perfectly with his tweet, with the fact you're disappointed with the draw when you go top of the table. It's just where we're at, and it's the standard of football these days. I think it's just gutting that because we've caught up so much and we've come so close, that's what hurts. You know, have we been 14 points behind still and we drawn that game? None of us are asked because the title's done, but because we clawed it back so much, every point means something. You can't see where Man City are going to slip up, and we've all got hope that, you know, West Ham, as Reece mentioned there, will do something. I think it's interesting that they're out of the Europa League now, because that was, I think their game was before the final, which would have just said they would have rotated and City would have won that. Wolves, interesting, they, you know, drew with Chelsea at the weekend, probably should have won. So now all our hopes are on that. But I don't think we should be disappointed with where we're at and what we've done, to be honest. The big picture thing is just phenomenal.
Yeah, that's it. And it's a good job that it's coming so thick and fast, really, isn't it, Chris? Because it was like, oh, it's down. Oh, no, the league. Oh, that's a shame. Oh, we've got the FA Cup final in the weekend. Oh, then it's the final game of the season. Oh, then we're in the Champions League final. I was pleased in so much as we still have to worry about City for a couple more games, because we're going to keep an eye on them. But the fact that Liverpool have other things in their hands that's the big psychological boost for this, is that if I was then looking at us playing City in the Champions League final, I would be an absolute wreck now, because I'm already quite nervous for Chelsea at the weekend, but the idea of then going and playing City, and City could walk away with it, you know, all the big stuff. The fact that, okay, if they get to have the league, they get to have the league. They'll deserve it because they've put down the most points. It is what it is. But I'm glad that it's not the be-all and end-all.
No, of course. Like, I mean, the thing is, when we won the Champions League and they won the league, we completely overshadowed them, and we won one trophy. There's a potential for us to walk away here with three trophies and, again, completely overshadow them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've gone further than that Man City side has ever gone in terms of the quadruple chase. It's incredibly difficult to win this league anyway because of Manchester City. It's even more difficult to go in every competition and win the league. Like, I don't have a doubt in my mind that Liverpool had a better chance of winning the league if they were out of one or two of the cup competitions. Mm-hmm. I truly believe we may well have done that. I don't think we maybe falter at the weekend. But would I rather swap that? No, I'd rather be in three finals and one in the bag, and two finals upcoming.
Yeah.
That's just the way that it is. You know, as much as I want to win the Premier League, the Champions League feels great. It's the biggest competition in world football. It's the one with the most kudos. It's the one that draws the eyes. It's the one that everybody cares about, whether you say you don't or you... And that's because you haven't won it. You know, it is truly the biggest competition. It's the hardest competition to win, I believe, as well. If it was the easiest competition, and, you know, I saw something on Twitter yesterday, and it's like, which one's harder to win, the Premier League or the Champions League? Well, it's the Champions League, because everyone who's won European Cups has won more leagues. Mm-hmm. So if it was easier to win the Champions League, you'd have more Champions Leagues than leagues.
No, that's true.
It just doesn't work that way around.
Yeah, exactly. And if it's talking about domestic league, there's, you know, in terms of the top leagues, there's four top domestic leagues at any given time. So there's four league titles being won. Four to five league titles being won every year, whereas there's one.
Which I think was Carragher's point on Monday Night Football, wasn't it? And I get that. I think it's an interesting point. But, like, really, right now, there's two teams that can win the Premier League. You know, there's Liverpool and there's Manchester City. And for the most part of the Premier League, there's two teams that can win the Premier League.
Yeah.
So you're either one of them or you're not. and it's capitalising when you are. And that's where I think Liverpool haven't done it so far under Jurgen Klopp. I think we probably should have walked away with at least two league titles so far. I mean, obviously last season is what it is, but it's still a year sort of wasted. Whereas if it doesn't feel like... Yeah, when it comes to European Cups, I think we've maximised everything we can do.
Mm-hmm.
You can get beat by Real Madrid in the final. You really can. You know what I mean? They've done it to that many teams.
Yeah, and take that point further and spread it across Europe. You know, look at all the other leagues. PSG more often win their league. Ajax, Bayern Munich. You know, I know it's been mixed up in Serie A over recent years.
But Juventus for, like, what, 10 years?
Exactly. But those teams like Juventus, Ajax, Barcelona and Real Madrid are all massive teams. They're referred to as massive teams because they've all won the European Cup multiple times. And that's why PSG and Man City want to spend all this money, because they want to be in the same bracket as those teams. Yeah.
And going back to the league point, you know, I think generally speaking, there is just two teams that can win the Premier League, or has been over the course of it. It might change in the future. Mm-hmm. But when you go into the Champions League, I think there's bare minimum four every year that you look at and go, well, I could see Bayern Munich winning it. I could see Man City winning it. I could see Liverpool winning it. I could see Real Madrid doing it again, even though they're crap, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's it. PSG, of course. So there's five really, really good sides there, probably, that have all got a really good chance of winning it every year.
Didn't even name the European champions.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It's and that's you're right. There's lots of good teams. Just talking about the game itself, I think the real frustration for me came in that second half when we came out, you're attacking the cop, and I'm used to Liverpool like, being in tight games in the first half, and you know, you improve in the second, and it was mad how we spent 10 minutes, I think, playing loads better, but playing worse at the same time. It was weird. We came out, we got into loads of really dangerous positions, and our final ball just got worse, or our passing was just slightly off. It was, you know, when you start to feel, this is normally when we would absolutely just batter the team, and all those fine margins stop working for us. Like, and just bad decisions, like Salah, Naby Keita stepping over it for Salah when he should just bang it. He should just absolutely bang it. Decision making was poor.
Yeah, it was poor, and there was a few balls from maybe Thiago to the back stick where it never quite come across, and you know, Jordan Henderson, I think, had one of them. Virgil van Dijk hits the bar, doesn't he, from a corner. Virgil van Dijk misses the target from a corner. You know, there was loads of half-decent opportunities there where Liverpool could have put the game away. You know, Liverpool created opportunities in good areas of the field as well. I remember looking at the stats from it. It just wasn't going to happen. But the mad thing is, when we scored, I didn't think there was going to be another winner to that game. I didn't think it was going to end in a draw. I truly believed that Liverpool were going to turn that round and win. And I was actually, that's why I walked out disappointed. Because for no point did I think Liverpool weren't winning that game. Even when we were 1-0 down, I was like, oh, we're going to get at least a draw. But when we scored with 15 to go, I'm like, oh, this is on. This is absolutely on.
We talked about it on the build-up show about it. Conte's role was Mourinho-Chelsea 13-14, and they played that to a T. They weren't quite as overt about it, you know, in like, it was just like Chelsea that season was just, it was mad. Like Ashley Cole people getting balls thrown to him for the throw, and he just moved his hands out the way, let it into his chest and roll away on the floor. Like, that was next level stuff. But I mean, that was in from Spurs' regard, they came with a game plan and they enacted it almost perfectly. You know, that's Conte, I think, has decided to make them hard to beat. I think they'll get more from them next season. They'll play more and better football, but he's clearly decided, I'm going to get in top four by being as resolute as possible. I don't like it, I don't enjoy it, and it's incredibly frustrating, but to the point, like Chelsea, I've got a song about Liverpool not winning the league in the season they finished third because of taking those kind of things. We should never be underestimated how much footballers and football managers just love the kudos of being spoilers, basically.
Yeah, but I think it's a compliment to Liverpool that he's not ready to match up with us because he knows he's not good enough and their team's not the same. But I think it just seems a bit of a shame, a bit of a waste because of the potential that they have got and some of the players that they have got. And I did the preview with Flav and he's like, some of their defenders are shocking and they can't go toe-for-toe with Liverpool, which makes sense. But it didn't make sense where the league is. Like I think they're now 4 points behind Arsenal, so they're chasing top four. And they play Arsenal on Thursday night. They could have fucked top four by playing like they did against Liverpool because you're more interested in not conceding the goal rather than scoring a goal.
I'm going to say something that probably most people would disagree with. I'm all right with that. Like, that's in the fullness of time when you've looked at the full results of the weekend. Like, the fact of the matter is they've played that way against us twice and they've played that way against City twice and they've walked out with 8 points in games where they're probably expected to walk out with no points.
Absolutely.
So I don't buy that argument at all. Like, you've got to get... And Tottenham nearly walked away with a win, by the way. You know, late on, they had that opportunity there, didn't they? And they'd probably be really disappointed that they didn't get that win. That was the best way for Tottenham to beat Liverpool, not going toe-to-toe with us. Mm-hmm. So I'm all, like, I don't like it, but, like, I think it's a bit revisionist to say, oh, they couldn't, you know, you fall behind. Yeah, they do. But they had a better chance of getting 3 points by playing like
and
that.
And we've talked this plenty of times about how the psychological impact of Liverpool thump you. And then you've got to pick yourself up and go, you know what I mean? The damage that does to your side when you've got to buy in a game, particularly because I just don't think they've got the capability to go toe-to-toe with us anyway. And as you say, and given the people they've got available, he'd have done a variation on that, maybe slightly more attacking, but he's not like he was going to go 4-3-3.
70% of the ball.
Yeah.
It's just, they get beat. Yeah. So, what's the point?
And they're at home on 30 as well. So, I think he probably fancies his chances in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then test the mental strength of Arsenal after that, which we know can be suspect at times. I'm absolutely fine with it. The only thing I'm not keen on is
the head
injury stuff is bad. Like, and this is always the issue with this. So, when they talked about concussion subs and they've talked about lots of those little additions, And it's like five subs and all that kind of thing. When they try to make changes to the games, people, the old school English managers Allardyce. Rail against it.
Yeah.
Because Sam Allardyce. And Sam Allardyce is the fella who bends every rule to gain everything, every advantage. And people go, oh, well, respect to him for doing that. But at some point, that I don't know how you stop it, but at some point someone's going to have a serious head injury and a referee's just going to go, ah, get on with it, and they're going to ignore it. And that's the danger of, it's the boy who cried wolf, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And this is where it comes back to 60-minute match clocks, quite honestly. Like, you can still do it and it still halts the momentum of the game, and I understand all that, but at least you're not winning by doing it,
yeah.
If you know what I mean. So I think it's a serious consideration the football needs to have. I think, you know, you can feel, I don't think you go and you pay 50 quid a game necessarily to see, you know, more or less football, but like a standardised amount of football would be quite nice, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. And when you go games where, and Liverpool get a lot of them, and that's where the frustration comes from Klopp, isn't it? Whereby they start messing around at 2 minutes into the game. And they're only messing their own time up come the end of the game, because we're normally 2-0 ahead or whatever. But like, it is just infuriating, whereas I don't know what they can do about that, because there's always going to be someone looking for an angle somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of a really money-rich sport.
As with anything, the problem is when you create rules, when you say it's this and this, people will always find exceptions and people will always test it and will always push. You can do anything in life. People think more rules are the solutions to problems, where there's short-term fixes. It's like patchwork, isn't it? You know what I mean? Instead of actually ripping something out and repairing it, it's like slapping a plaster on something as opposed to fixing the root cause of the problem. And there's a bit of bitterness, absolutely, there has to be, because we didn't have, you know, we didn't win the game of football. And Liverpool, by the way, time waste all the time. Liverpool do it in games where we need to win. We time waste because we believe in taking time out of the game. I think it upsets the opposition to some extent. And I can accept that that's part of the game. But, I mean, yeah, the head injury stuff's just a bit fucking mad, because it also, the worst thing about, like, someone like Højbjerg, Ross, it might not even be that it hurts someone else. It could hurt him. I mean, look at Anthony Gordon in the derby. Yeah. He comes into that game with a reputation of diving.
Yeah.
So doesn't get the results. And all of a sudden, we could see it. The fact the referee was telling people, was actually saying, to play the game on when people were going down at some point. And at some point, he might genuinely get hurt in the game, and he'll be fucked because no one will believe that he's
just describe Richarlison for the majority of that game. I think Thiago ends up clashing with his foot or whatever, and he's left on the floor. Like, he's injured, we carry on. Then they get wound up because we carried on playing football. We're not interested in their time wasting because we want to score a goal. I get it's a tactic for some teams, and that's what frustrates us, because we don't play to that extent or that badly. Mm-hmm. But if they're coming to Anfield and they've got no other option, or they're either delaying the inevitable or delaying Liverpool scoring and frustrating us, it works sometimes.
You're also forcing potential negligence onto referees, I think.
Yeah.
So a referee makes the call, now, not this time, I'm not falling for it. Who wants to be the referee for that instance? And again, that's the thing that they're unlocking, a bit stupid. Are we prepared to concede the title?
No. Not a chance. Gosh. And I'm not even sure City need to lose. Like, they could draw twice. Everyone seems to be focused on them losing the game, and that's where they're getting in their own heads. It's like, we just need 2-0.
Yeah.
Just need someone to survive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that they get beat. They could draw twice. Remember that. We've got options.
Yeah.
Definitely. We're not out yet.
Yeah. I mean, the issue we've got, of course, that would be nice, because I don't want to have the goal difference chase.
You get one draw, and then I tell you what, they may be starting to run a bit scared then.
Yeah. Be interesting stuff. But the thing they've got going for them is that Pep's doing everything in his power, and we'll talk a little bit about that after the break, but he's obviously trying to galvanise them, isn't he? He's trying to, you know, he's got to now, because...
Well, he can literally put his arms around all of the City fans in one go. It's easy for him. You know what I mean? The prick.
He's on the verge of...
A breakdown.
I said this on the build-up show yesterday, but he's on the verge of a catastrophic failure of a season, because, you know, and how does he cope with that in his head? And he'll survive in Manchester because they love him, and the board love him, and they know there's no one better out there, so it's not like it's going to get him the sack. But it is that's the pressure that comes with that job, and I don't think he's ever really had that, because it's, oh, it's little Man City, aren't we? Oh, poor old City, typical City. And now it's like, no, you've got to win the treble, mate. or you've got to win the Champions League. So if you haven't not won the Champions League that he had to win, haven't got to the final last season, they proved they can get there. They need to go one step further and they've gone one step shorter. And to then not even do they've already not done the bread and butter of the domestic cups. If and this is the thing where you're right, Chris, Pep's head is not a pretty place to be. He's the key for me because yes, they're running out of players. I'm sure a couple of lads that he set out for the season will miraculously reappear next weekend, guaranteed. But or the weekend after next. But it's whether he just does something fucking nuts.
Possibly. If you could play that goalie again between now and the end of the season, please. We'll take that.
On the squad size thing, I said it the other week, don't spend £1 million on a player if you've got a small squad.
They haven't got a small squad. They just don't count the fucking five youth players that are really, really good when they do the squad.
But if you're trying to say you've got a small squad and you're running out of players, don't go spend £1 million on a player who doesn't start the majority of your games and expect sympathy from everybody else.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Money to make a squad. They've chosen to buy £100 million players. Ross is absolutely right.
And they decided.
And they've got a big squad anyway.
And they could have pushed the envelope and gone a little bit more on Kane. They could have done. But they obviously decided they set a limit on what they were paying. But if Spurs had accepted £100 million for Kane, they'd have had Grealish and Kane.
Yeah.
They just would have done. And would there have been issues over the squad depth thing?
Is it Cole Palmer?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be amazing. They never include him in the squad things.
And Delap as well.
There's a couple, they've got a couple of really good young lads who are part of the squad.
Certainly. And they include Carson when it comes to the goalkeeper, but not Stefan. And that's what I see. And it's like, hang on a minute. Like, it's like us just not including Kurt Jones, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Taki Minamino and Harvey Elliott because they don't make the bench every week.
Yeah.
He's getting frustrated because he's not getting the recognition that he thinks he deserves for his achievements in Manchester City in a broader scale. And I reckon if he had a chance to do it at Liverpool, I think he'd do it differently.
Absolutely right. We're going to talk a bit more about this and what Klopp said, and we've got Jürgen Klopp's reaction to it, but we have got a very short break. We have got an amazing array of content coming up. It's Wembley week over on Redmen Plus, and we're also on the running. We're not prepared to concede the title. I'm sure you're not either. But either way, we've got an FA Cup final and we've got a Champions League final to look forward to as well. So here's a little bit of what we've got for you in the coming weeks. Everyone, the run into the most exciting season in the history of football is underway. The mighty Reds are in the hunt for 4 trophies and we have got that covered from all angles, whether it's pre-game.
There are big similarities between United and Liverpool because of the history and the success and the demand to be the best.
Post-game, when Liverpool got better in the second half, it came because we unleashed Andy Roberts.
A+. Yes, excellent work in the XG goal timeline graph.
Documentaries.
So why not take a trip back in time with me now as we look at the story of a crew?
Features. And interviews.
Yeah, I played against him in I think it was just after lockdown. We played Blackburn and played Liverpool Anfield.
There has never been a better time to join Redmen Plus and get yourself more Redmen content, more cultural features, closer access to the city of Liverpool, the club, and the vibes on the streets of Liverpool as we head towards an unprecedented end to the 2022 season. What a ride it's been. Come and join us over on redmenplus.com. It is a streaming service. was built specifically for Liverpool fans, and we want you over there, whether you like video content or podcast content. We have got you covered in your native podcasting app. There are two tiers available. Club Captain gets you access to all of the content, but if you want more, if you want to get closer to the Redmen TV team, then you can join as a club legend, get access to our Discord group, and don't forget there's also a whole bunch of extra perks, including free merchandise, oh yes, and live show tickets as well. Redmen Plus, the best independent Liverpool media streaming service on the planet today. Get involved. Head to redmenplus.com.
It's not morning yet.
Well,
sorry, you have to
afternoon.
It isn't.
But you're from PLP, yeah?
No, I live in Liverpool, so yes, here a lot of people want us to win the league. That's true, but even here, it's probably only 50%. Just the other guys were involved in another fight, at least until yesterday. And yeah, I have no idea if the whole country is supporting us. That I don't know that. It's not the feeling I get, actually, when we go to other places and play there. It's actually the opposite. But, maybe he knows more about that than me.
So Pep Guardiola thinks everyone's supporting Liverpool and the media and all that kind of stuff, which sounds very much like infamy. They've all got it infamy. Now, before we obviously rip the piss out of him in a huge way for being an absolute psychopath...
Shall we post him this?
Can we? Who knows nothing. Shall we? Can anyone posit me some ideas as to why he might feel that way? Just for a bit of balance on this, relatively speaking.
I'll go back to what I said before. I think he wants. I don't think he gets the recognition that I think he would get if he was at Liverpool or he was doing it a different way, rather than being a state-funded football club. And I think his achievements will be recognised a lot more elsewhere. I think that's why he feels like that. I think maybe also distracting from maybe not at the Champions League. I had to go tactic to talk about, you know, something else. There's a fire over here, but oh, look at this.
Yeah.
Everyone feels sorry for me. But he's talking shit.
The thing, when he talks about the media, so, I mean, and I've seen that the media BBC predictions thing come out again in response to this, where everyone had Liverpool like not winning the league and some of them like not in the top four and all that kind of stuff. Nobody had Liverpool having a good season, or anywhere near as good a season as we had. So that kind of defies that. But I do feel a little bit of this is because there are no real Man City pundits. You've got Micah Richards and that's it. And he's literally on everything. He's cashed in a huge way. He's on every bit of coverage he can get hold of because they've got no one else. Whereas with regards to Liverpool, maybe you can say you've got Redknapp and you've got Carragher and you've got Danny Murphy.
Soonest,
exactly. You know, and there'll be other examples beyond that. So I can maybe sense that if you're watching TV coverage, there's not a lot of people going to bat for Manchester City.
What about Steve McManaman?
Oh yeah, of course. He was a Man City player far more recently than he was a Liverpool player.
Fowler's on BT as well. What do they want?
Absolutely. Yeah, there you go. Well, what? There you go, Pep, in your fucking bald-headed face. What are you talking about? But to the point, I can sort of get a bit of that. But honestly, we all live in our bubbles, don't we? And I've become more aware of this because of like voting and politics over the last 15 years, that what I feel is my grasp of the world via social media is a very, very tight, closed off sort of
microcosm, isn't it?
Exactly. And it tends to reflect your own views and opinions. And that's why lots of weirdos thrive on social media, because they can feel as though they've got loads of people around them who all share their same, and therefore that is the worldview. That's how you end up with FSG outers and thinking they're like leading this like absolute parish of diehards, you know, an army of people who are ready to storm the barricades, and then five people turn up to not an organised protest. Do you reckon it's just that? Do you reckon he's just got two people around him who are just telling him that's the case, or he's looking at it in a skewed way?
I think it's an age-old tactic that he's seen other managers do, and it's about whether he believes it or not, he's saying it. I'm not sure he believes it. I think he's just saying it for the squad.
I think he does. Maybe it's just been at City too long. And because that does that preaches to their choir big time, doesn't it? Like, it's like Liverpool are this big powerhouse and we're old little city. Yeah. But like this idea that he's tapping into that core fan base who still think they're in the second division. They've got it wrong.
What they need to do is start acting like a big club.
Yeah.
But they're not. They are acting like a small club. They're not. Manchester United don't have to say we're a massive club. Liverpool don't have to say we're a massive club. We just are. Man City need to will themselves into being a big club by winning a Champions League or by acting like one. They don't do any of that.
They're a young girl in the mum's heels and eyeliner pretending they're old enough to be in town, and that's City. They've got all the dressings of being someone who belongs at the table, but the attitude, the mentality. And that's the thing. I think Pep's got that. I think Pep's a big manager. He's been all the biggest clubs as a player and as a manager. But that's what I mean. And whether he's deliberately playing to his audience, or they've started to taint him and he started to buy into it, because I don't think he's shooting from the hip there. I think he has got a degree of plan, but I also do believe that he's not reading purely from script for pure effect. I do think he believes a little bit of what he's saying.
It's only weird because that one that was in Bein Sports from the weekend, it was Liverpool weren't mentioned in the question. Liverpool mentioned the question because obviously Liverpool dropped points. But then it's not like he's poked and prodded about it. It's not like Rafa and Fergie when they were asked and they drew up like a rivalry and it was all the fact stuff. And do you know what I mean? He's just off the cuff. Like, no one mentioned Liverpool. It's like, why are you so bothered?
Yeah. Well, like, because to your point, he wants to be lauded, he wants his team to be held up, and you know, and again, you saw that mentality a couple of weeks ago when people, City fans, come out going, everyone's talking about Liverpool on the quadruple, City are on for the treble, and you know, obviously they're not now, but they do, and he's had that for years now, like how Liverpool players get picked in the Ballon d'Or nominations over Man City and all, and it's not. I mean, look, Ruben Diaz wins Football Writers football Player of the Year last year, doesn't he? So they've started to turn that. I'm sure Kevin De Bruyne has won something as well, but Liverpool do draw more eyes, and Liverpool certainly have a bigger fan base, and they've certainly got a bigger following. And I think globally, Chris, he's probably right. Like, around the world, more people will want Liverpool to win. But in this country, it's a fucking nonsense. I think he's confusing. No one gives a shit about Man City with everyone loves Liverpool.
Yeah, and that's the point. That's absolutely spot on, because, you know, Manchester United fans, Tottenham fans, Arsenal fans, they don't mind if City get, what would it be, a ninth league title? I'm not sure exactly. And that in and of itself tells you a lot, because I know how many Manchester United have won. Because they've won the fucking most. Everyone knows how many Liverpool have won. You know, I know how many FA Cups Arsenal have won, because they've won 14 of the bastards, and they're miles out ahead of everybody else. And knew that Man City had 8 League Cups, and because they were joint top. Mm-hmm. They're now not joint top of that.
Yep.
You know, it's just us on our own. They're the things that you are drawn to, the teams with the most of all the titles.
Yeah,
and Man City aren't in any category.
Exactly.
He might have more Charity Shields, who knows, but yeah.
And he's fighting, he'll be remembered really fondly, but the problem is, of course, and this is where City are at. City are 20 years away from being up with Liverpool and Man United. Maybe less. Might be another 10.
Maybe well, like six more. Champions League in 10 years, though, will they?
Well, maybe, but maybe not. You know what I mean? And what I'm saying is, bare minimum, you're talking a decade before they're close to the conversation. And there's a lot of things that can happen in that time, least of all Pep Guardiola probably deciding he wants to go and do something else with his life. But like Alex Ferguson built a legacy, and Jurgen Klopp is in danger of, in 7 years, of undermining the legacy that Alex Ferguson left. Whereas Pep Guardiola, I don't know.
Do you know what it is? I truly think it comes down to the footy with him. I think he thinks they play the best football in the world, and he's never really got over the fact that people got bored of his Barca side.
Yeah.
And he's never really got over the fact that no one really loves the City side.
Yeah.
Like, they never... Barcelona at least had a few years where everyone was like, this is the best football the world has ever seen. He's never had that at Bayern, and he's not had that at Manchester City since. Even though they do play terrific football, football. It's just a little bit boring. And I also feel that he doesn't understand how Jurgen Klopp can hold on to his coattails, mm-hmm. because he does spend £100 million on players year in, year out. He does spend more money than everybody else. He is, I think, probably one of the best coaches in the world, if not the best. Him and Jurgen probably joint first at the moment for completely different styles. I think he's like, how the fucking hell is this fella doing this with a completely different model? And how's he managed to make everyone like him as well? Yeah. You know, because you might not like Liverpool, but everyone, no one hates Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
Because he's just a fucking really nice fella.
Yeah.
Who speaks honestly and openly about things. Who people care what he says, not just even on the footy. Whereas Guardiola, everyone thinks he's a fucking crank.
I'll give you a good example of it, and we always bring everything back to champ or footy manager. But so you show someone your footy manager team after 10 years and it's the best, and you're in that point where you can just click continue and you go, oh cool, look at all those players you've got, aren't they great? But you'd be like, but you know, when you've just got all the players you're meant to get, and so you go, well, I'm not going to be impressed with that. I, great, well done, you've put enough time in to get to that stage of the game. But of course, for Pep Guardiola and for people doing that, you've had to do it. You've had to live through the 10 years and you've had to do the bits and play all the games. So for him, and this goes back to the City thing of like, they still think their football club is the same club that went down to Division 3 or whatever it was. Pep Guardiola's been on the ride and he wants recognition for the graft that he's put in, and he has, because he's worked just as many hours as Jurgen Klopp. He's put, you know, he's made as many decisions, more. He's been taught about as being someone who's changed the game and been innovative in his tactics and all that kind of stuff. And yet people are literally just there going, people don't love him, and it must be hard because we're all looking at going, where's your finished product? They're the least lovable football team, I think, of the top teams, because all the players who were lovable, actually, he inherited.
Yeah.
You know, like, people love David Silva and Aguero and company to some extent, you know, and a few others in and around that. What, there's just nothing there anymore. You know, I respect Kevin De Bruyne as a footballer. I think he's a brilliant footballer.
Not characters, though, are they? And maybe this is part of him trying to drum up a rivalry. I don't think he's that arse, to be honest. And I think, to Chris's point, it's more about the football. And maybe everything else that you've just mentioned and the FFP stuff and the fact that the state funded all the money that was spent before he even turned up is overshadowing his achievements as to why people don't appreciate him and like him. And I think you made a point last week or the week before. Maybe it's not appreciated, the fact that they do spend loads of money, but that's easily done. It can go so wrong. Mm-hmm. Look at Everton, look at Manchester United. You know, we've mentioned Harry Maguire before, Sancho, Ronaldo, even recent buys that they've had. You forget they had Lukaku, they had Di Maria. They've had loads of players and it's just gone tits up. I think he deserves credit for, you know, spending money and getting it right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're dead right.
Look, for him winning, being one of the best coaches in the world, being a club that can spend more than anybody else in the world, he truly has to dominate, mm-hmm. for that. Yeah. And he's not been able to dominate. And that's the thing that will be eating up him yeah. inside, because he has had more resources than everybody else. He has had better players than everybody else. He has, you know, his coaching staff and all the team behind the scenes got in there 2 years before. It was supposed to be that he rides in on the crest of a wave and takes over English football, and he hasn't been able to do it. That's where it will come back to, is that he won't have thought he's achieved enough with City yet. And that's what's eating him up inside.
Yeah, the Champions League thing's huge, because he wanted to win it at Bayern and he couldn't, and he should have been able to win it at Bayern, but he didn't. And he's reaping what he's sowing, because he's had to condition their fans, and he's played into some of their existing mentality on it, that the league's more important, because you've got to tell them, well, winning domestic cups is brilliant. The FA Cup and the League Cup and all that, they're brilliant because they win them every year. Winning the league's a bigger achievement than winning the Champions League. He doesn't believe it, because he wants to win the Champions League more than
anyone else.
Because
he knows how hard to win Champions League.
Exactly.
And tell you what, Paul, he'd have been sacked when we won the league if he was at Chelsea.
Yeah.
For being that far off the fucking pace.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have lasted this long under Abramovich. Mm. Abramovich would have expected a European Cup by now.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's a
and he should be forcing it, because and he should count as blessings, because he's at a club that has got that, and they've given time, and that's good. They're very well organised and run football club. But that's the thing, is I think he's hurting so badly over the Champions League stuff, but he can't talk about it because he's told everyone that the league's the one. And so for him to then come out and go, oh, but really, I'm really sad because the Champions League, well, he's undermining everything he's... And if he then starts to come out and let people know how badly that hurts, he undermines his whole position.
He fucking hates Real Madrid.
Yep.
And they're the team that did it for him. As a Barca boy and everything else, he despises Real Madrid, and they were the ones that knocked him out in the Bernabeu. Oh, yeah, it's glorious.
Yep, absolutely. Lovely, lovely stuff. Long may his little... It is that thing of, we know what Liverpool are in his mind. We know we're in his head. We know he admires Liverpool because he does. I mean, even that thing when he come in and he was like, was it when he was talking to Noel Gallagher and was like, you know, Liverpool have got, you're going to have a walk alone, like City need a song like that. And they're like, well, we've got one, it's Blue Moon. He's like, no, but like, seriously, your own song. It's the fucking worst, by the way. It's the absolute worst. Why did they do that like mad punk version of it? It's like they deliberately chose to do the fast version of Poor Scouser Tommy. Like, none of them can keep up. Anyway, right, we're going to talk about the games coming up. We have got a super chat here from Lachille. Says, draw or lose, please, I urge the fans, let's not lash out at Gerrard on Twitter. He has no current association or role with LFC. Yeah, absolutely. People will. Because people are fucking weirdos. So if Gerrard does anything to slow Liverpool's title charge here, then I'm sure there'll be people calling them all kinds, because that's just how people respond on the internet. But just briefly on the Villa stuff, I fully expect Steven Gerrard to do everything in his power to stop Liverpool in this game. And fair play, he's Aston Villa manager. He's not our manager. It's not on him to do that. If he wants to do that, great. Provided he does exactly the same thing to Man City on the last game of the season, then
if he rolls over, he's never going to be a Liverpool manager.
Yes. Yep.
No respect in that area. He doesn't have it in him. He does not have it in him to roll over for anybody at any point, because he's a Liverpool fan, but he's fucking Steven Gerrard doing what's right for Steven Gerrard first and foremost, yep. Isn't he? You know what I mean?
Got to keep himself in a job at this rate as well.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. He's got more and bigger things to concern himself with. If he wants to be Liverpool manager, then it would help. You know, we won't really appreciate it now, but one of the reasons Rafa Benitez ends up with the Liverpool job is the incredible job he does at Valencia at Anfield. Like, yeah. They absolutely players off the park.
Yeah, we couldn't get the ball.
Yeah, genuinely. And I don't want that, of course, but, you know, again, Steven Gerrard, we don't have to worry about that now. That was the one additional great thing about Klopp extending his contract, is that we can get rid of all the boring, peppling the Steven Gerrard conversation for another couple of years at least. We just don't have to worry about it. Let Gerrard do Gerrard. And if it turns out that he ends up good enough, sound like Klopp said himself in his press conference, he was like, yeah, you'd be great, but it's not Klopp's decision, not our decision. Gerrard's got to prove himself, and it'd be nice. I actually want it to be a big, tough game. I want us to have to fight our way through it, because I do want Gerrard to be Liverpool manager. I want to be able to see that he's got the capability of doing something and frustrating, as long as we win, by the way. Because again, it'll also give me hope that they can do something against City, which we will need them to do. Right, FA Cup final this weekend. I'm not sure how we're here. I even quite weird that I keep getting asked what I'm doing on weekends, and I have to be like, FA Cup final.
Yeah, party.
Live show, last game of the season. Paris, wow, okay. That's 3 weeks and then we're done and we can all have a big lie down. I haven't quite got my head into gear for this yet, Chris, but that's why I want to talk about it. The more I talk about it, the more I think about it, and the more I think about it, the more excited I get for it. We're doing a draft show, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a few minutes, over on Plus, which is picking player winners from Liverpool's last three FA Cup wins. We haven't won it since 2006. Like, that's insane. I genuinely was a bit like, well, obviously, but also I was a little bit taken aback at how long that was, because 2006 to me, and I'm sure to you, felt about
5 years
five
ago.
5 minutes ago, like, yeah.
No, it is, and it's such a long time, isn't it? I mean, Klopp obviously hasn't won the trophy before. We've been to the final. We've been to semi-finals. It's just not a competition we've done well in, and I mentioned how many FA Cups Arsenal won, 14. Like, I mean, we're miles behind them.
Yeah,
like, that's mad, isn't it? And you know, I think Arsene Wenger's won the most FA Cups of any manager in England. I believe, obviously, winning it 3 or 4 times on the bounce or whatever you do will help with that. I'm really, really looking forward to this, because I've never seen Liverpool lift the FA Cup with my own two eyes. In the ground. Yeah. Obviously, I've seen them lift the FA Cup, but I've never been in the ground for it. So I'm fingers crossed I get to actually cross that off a bucket list as well this year.
It's just a bit mad that we're in a final under Jurgen Klopp, in a domestic cup. I know we just won the Carabao Cup, but it's like, you know, we mentioned being to semi-finals and finals before. Under him, it's been third round, fourth round, when we've drawn Chelsea or Wolves or Arsenal, and we've just kind of gone out and it's forgotten about, I think. And all our concentration has been on Champions League and the Premier League over the past couple of seasons. Like, I don't think I've been that asked about domestic cups enough, and I should be, and I am now.
Yeah. They've taken something special away from the FA Cup by putting it in the middle of the league season. I do think that that's taken a bit of the edge off it. Had it been
end of league,
FA Cup, Champions League, that would have been, God, imagine. Yeah. It feels like it's all been put out of whack here.
It feels like it's mad. Because
we're two games a week in the fucking league at the moment and we've thrown an FA Cup in.
And that's the problem, is that almost like we might lose to Villa, and that'll open it up, because I think if we were to lose a Villa, I think that's absolutely league done, and then all your focus then is on the cups, and that would be shit to be out the league. But it would actually, I think, sort of crystallise our thinking on these a little bit. But you're dead right, the fact that it's like, I'm also thinking about, like, City have got West Ham in the league, on the Sunday or whatever, that's a mad mentality. It makes it feel Carabao Cup-ish, where you're right, you're meant to peak, you're meant to crescendo at a point, and the Carabao Cup already melted my brain for having to go through penalty shootouts, the goalies in February, without having to then survive every day. I was on a come down for a month after that, and then just managing to pick myself up at this point. But, you know, we'll win the FA Cup and it'd be like, no time for love, Dr. Jones. Everyone picked themselves back up again because Southampton on Tuesday.
Jesus Christ. May as well just stay down in London for an extra couple of fucking days.
Honestly, but no, I'm made up, and I loved the semi-final. The semi-final really reignited my love for the whole thing, because the Carabao Cup was great. Tom's preparing a documentary on the Carabao Cup, and we'll have as many documentaries going out post-season as trophies we win, effectively. So we've got one sound that's in production. But talking about that was really interesting, how I just love that. It kind of wiped away last year, being able to be with the fans. It's not the same as missing out on winning the league, but this is all, the Carabao Cup was a good step. The FA Cup could be a good step towards that as well. I just want that connection with the players again. I want to be there. I want them to lift it. I want to see them happy. I want them to see us happy. That's what we're playing for here. The FA Cup in and of itself is not a be all and end all. You know, it's not a major, major trophy. It's not the league and it's not the Champions League. But it is an opportunity for us to, again, to start to add to the silverware of the Klopp era, and also to give us an opportunity to really bond with the players again.
And it's recognition and bonding with the whole squad in that sense, because it's been the whole squad that's contributed to the FA Cup, and more so than the league. So even like Tacky for the Carabao Cup, you know, if you were out early rounds, doesn't get as much football. Mm-hmm. FA Cup, you know, Harvey Elliott, Diaz, when he first comes in, I think he plays the Cardiff game, doesn't he? And I think he scores as well, actually. Elliott comes back from his injury. All these games at early stages are important for development and getting people up to speed again. But they've all contributed to Liverpool being in the final. They might not play, but when they lift it, we'll all look at everyone who's seen those players and go, you've helped us achieve this.
The good thing is there's 90 minutes here, Chris, where it's a one-off game of football. We don't need to be dragged down by everything else. And it's a big challenge of the manager to focus everyone's mindset on this, of course. And hopefully, you know, they haven't been distracted in the week building up to, or even the stuff that follows it. But it's kind of like, I had this feeling with the semi-final. Beating Man City felt significant in the semi, and that was they're done now. We don't have to worry about them. They can't contribute towards this tournament anymore. And that's where we're at with the final now. Having the league has been so stressful for four seasons now. Literally every game has been hyper important for a variety of reasons. It's 90 minutes of footy. It's a one-off game of footy. We'll either win it or we'll lose it. And if we win it, we've got a great, you know, a nice pot to add to the collection and celebrate.
And that's it, isn't it? I mean, you know, I look at it, the way the Chelsea have been performing the last few weeks, and I think probably the pessimists will be looking at it going, well, you know, they haven't had to play and they're going to be able to rest players and where they are in the league and all that. I'm like, I'd much rather be in a position where every game matters, because I think teams struggle picking it back up when that happens. Like, you know, and that's why I think it's important to take it to the last game of the season for the Champions League final as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's massively important, just because you stay in that rhythm, that hunger, that, like, this is how we play. We've got to keep improving every single day in training. Can't take a weekend off. Chelsea are in a funny position at the moment whereby they're actually being dragged back into that fight.
Yeah.
You know, Tottenham and Arsenal, we were talking about them earlier on, about them fighting each other. They're not far away from fighting Chelsea.
3 points off Arsenal.
Yeah, and Chelsea play, is it tomorrow night Chelsea play?
Yep.
So, like, a day's less rest, they're probably going to rest players. Does that mean they have another poor result? All of a sudden, that Tottenham Arsenal game could be who's playing for third.
Yeah.
It's mad.
Well, it's true. You know, we saw this with Madrid in the Madrid final, Champions League final, where the gap between the end of the season and that, both teams struggle to just get back up to that intensity because it is. It's hard to go, you know, you've poured everything in. It's like sitting down. You know, the worst, the most fatal thing you can ever do is sit down.
When you're
down
on a 12-hour shift in the kitchen, mate, sitting down is not good.
Keep going. Stand outside, lean against the wall, whatever you do. Don't stop. Don't sit down because that's getting back
this
up.
This is why you
is
see
harder.
People jogging at traffic lights, lads.
Yeah.
It's interesting Liverpool's preparations for that because it's such a tight turnaround between the Wolves and the Champions League final. They're not going away. So I know they won't put their feet up when they go abroad anyway, but they normally go and do preparations abroad for these finals. They stay in Liverpool, so they don't have to go anywhere, and they can, you know, continue that momentum that they've got of, you know, regularity.
Who's the side, like, you know, when Liverpool played Tottenham, who was the side in it? Was it a Spanish or a Portuguese side we went and played behind closed doors to prepare?
It was the one we played. Was it Benfica?
It was Benfica.
Was it Benfica? Who the fuck are you picking for mad as a box of frogs, Madrid?
Yeah. Like, pick two teams. Pick a team of like over 40s and then a team of under 20s to play. One half each, maybe. That's exactly what that game's going
to
be.
Right. So, like, are we going to the class of 92 for Man United for the over 40s and then what? Like, the United don't have good enough players to do the other ones.
Yeah.
Ronaldo might be older than Neville anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, sound. I'm really, really, really excited. We've got loads of coverage in the build-up to it, of course. Special shows over on Redmen Plus. We are doing an FA Cup special draft. It is Chris against Ross. It's Liverpool FA Cup winners of the past 30 years. That's 92, 2001 and 2006 is the pool of players to pick their draft teams from. I also interviewed Michael Thomas to get his FA Cup final story from 1992, scored the opener and set up Ian Rush to finish the game as well. The highlights have been doing the rounds on Liverpool social media. You can check that out. If that whets your appetite, get his insight on the game as well. That will be streaming this week. And we are doing a special debate show as well as the usual build-up shows and all that good stuff. So yeah, we're going FA Cup crazy. Me, Chris and Tom will be at Wembley as well. We'll have a special show on Friday, hopefully from Wembley Way, unless we get turfed out. So yeah, make sure you keep your eyes and ears peeled for that good stuff as well. Are we all good?
Yeah.
What are you he's passing notes?
Yes, because Reese from Who Knows Wins has texted me to say that there's an event on.
On the Saturday for the FA Cup final from 2 o'clock in the Philharmonic in Cardiff. If you can't make it to Wembley, just need to download the Who Knows app and register your interest so you can go to the event.
There you go. Yeah, get involved with Who Knows Wins. Link is in the description. Do check out redmenplus.com, our Liverpool streaming service for incredible Liverpool cultural features, documentaries, documents, fuck me. Extra shows and all that good stuff. Right, thank you so much, gents.
You okay there, Ross?
Yeah.
It's like fucking Harry Potter fucking thing. Wingardium Leviosa.
And we will see you all soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.